Hey everyone, welcome to the Within Her Soul podcast. I'm Jordan.
And I'm Sydney. And we are two Jesus-loving women who have a lot to say about living as Christians in this modern day world.
We deep dive into tough to talk about topics that we know you're battling with. We expose all things relationships, soul care, sex, healing from your past, and more.
We give practical advice in these areas, but also share comedic stories of our own lessons learned and normalize what being a Christian woman in today's society is really like.
So buckle up, friend. It's going to get real, real quick.
Welcome back to this week's episode. We are talking about tithing today. If you heard last week's episode, we just talked about having a healthy relationship, being able to steward our money well, not having money as an idol in our lives, and just kind of me and Sid's personal stories with struggling with this, but also what we feel like the word says about this and how serious it is to have money as an idol. And so we just felt led that it'd be a good topic to go into to talk about tithing today. And some of you guys might be already tithers and you know how important it is and how, like how much blessing it's brought to you. And some of you might have been hurt by the church or hurt in a way where you think tithing is not for you, or maybe you haven't even heard of what tithing is. And I actually found this very shocking to me because I was raised Christian and I always knew what tithing was. And I just naively and arrogantly thought everyone knew what a tithe was. And that everyone tithed. I thought we all tithe as Christians, but I quickly realized that actually people have a lot of questions about it. There's some that are kind of hesitant because they have that feeling of like, well, what are they doing with my money? You know, or is it going to the right place or all the things? And so I'm so happy that we are able to kind of deep dive into this and figure out what the word says first and foremost, because that's all we care about on this podcast. It doesn't matter what me and Sid's opinions are. We always tie everything back to what the scripture says, but also just a little bit about me and Sid's personal testimonies as well with tithing. And so I'm really excited that we're going to get to do that today.
Yeah, absolutely. Like Joe said, you know, our main focus with this podcast is to share the word of God on these different topics that you see in our podcast episodes. But then we also, of course, like to be relatable by sharing our personal stories and experiences and how we've grown through different things. And so I thought it was really relatable to talk about tithing today. Obviously, number one, because it clearly is a big deal to God, but also because I know that a lot of people are probably hesitant to tithe because you've only heard about tithing, you know, sermons and stuff from the church, right? And so I think it's important for us as believers who have experienced the blessings of tithe and seeing that the Lord is faithful through it to also share with the church. So it's not just coming from the church, because I know sometimes we can, you know, you walk into a church and the first sermon you hear at that church is about tithing and it's like, oh, okay, here we go. But really, like, it is so important. And so I guess I just kind of wanted to be a voice as someone who doesn't work in a church and, you know, doesn't get to see that side of it, but actually like is practicing tithing in my life. And I've seen such blessings from it. So, you know, and when I say blessings, I'm not just talking about the Lord blessing our finances, even though he has remained faithful in that. And he has blessed our finances as we tithe. I'll come back to that in a second, but also through just like helping me to have a healthy relationship with money because of our tithes, helping my husband to have a healthy relationship with money. It makes us a lot less greedy with our money, and it makes us a lot more open-handed with it. And, you know, like Joe said, in our episode last week, we talked about how to have a healthy relationship with money and keep it from being an idol in our life. And I really do believe that this is one of the ways that the Lord does that. You know, like, he is so smart that he just like makes everything work out that way. So what I've noticed is when I tithe, you know, I'm recognizing that my money isn't about me, that God is the one who gave it to me. And I'm simply giving back to him the first portion of what's already his. So it's like I'm reminded, you know, from month to month or paycheck to paycheck or whatever, we can get kind of greedy and kind of handsy with our money and, oh, we need to make more and we need to save more and this and this. And then it's like when that paycheck comes in and it's time for me to give that first 10%, it's like, I have no choice right now but to be like, okay, Lord, here you go. And in that moment, I'm usually always reminded of the scripture, God loves a cheerful giver. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, you know what, Lord, I give this to you cheerfully. I'm happy to give this to you. And I pray over that. I'll talk about that in a little bit. But yeah, I think that it really helps you to keep a right standing with money, keep a godly relationship with money. And the Lord does promise to bless your finances because of this. Yeah. And, you know, that doesn't mean that we're all going to be millionaires because we tithe. And that's not the reason why we tithe. However, that is a byproduct. The Lord does promise to take care of us. In fact, His word actually says, test me in this and see if I don't open the floodgates of heaven so you don't even have enough room to store it. And that doesn't mean necessarily, and I share this from personal experience, but it doesn't mean that, you know, if I'm struggling with money and I tithe, that the next week God's going to give my husband a huge pay raise or a promotion or whatever. It may take some time. There's been seasons of our life where we have not had as much money and we have had to continue to tithe even when we really struggled to give that 10%. There may be times when you feel like you don't have the money to tithe, but let me tell you, God will show up.
Yeah.
If you have $100 to spend and you're like, I don't even know how I'm gonna get groceries this week, and you give that 10%, watch the Lord bring that money back to you through someone randomly like giving you a check or you know, whatever ways He wants to do it. It's all about trusting God, and it helps to grow our trust and our faith in Him as we do this. So it's really just all around a great thing, and it really does put your finances in a good position.
Yes. And just to kind of break this down for you guys, if anyone is curious about like, wait, what is tithing? Maybe you're newly in your faith, you've never heard of that, or maybe you haven't been in a church home long enough to even hear about what a tithe is. Tithe is 10% of your income. And you typically give that to the church, to a church organization, where you're being spiritually fed from. You give it back to the house of the Lord. Tithing, you'll also hear tithe and offerings. Tithe is something that is, and I say mandatory, but I say as like the like a requirement for.
Well, it's not something that's legalistic. That's like, here's a rule or else you're a bad Christian if you don't do this. But it's something that we commit to show God our respect.
Yeah. It's kind of like, basically, tithe is something that is expected of Christians whenever you decide that you want to walk with the Lord, because that is that part of dying to self, surrendering everything in your life to God. That's also what that tithe is. It's, I'm going to give you the 10% of my income, the very first thing I do before I pay anything, before I see what I'm lacking, before I see what bills are coming. I'm just going to give you that 10%. Now, offering is something extra. It's actually considered a gift. So tithing is not actually the gift. Like, tithing is like that, it's all treated like a bill. It's something that is something that has that much more importance. Offering is a gift. So like, you'll hear offerings being like, if there's a ministry that's popping up that someone really wants to start and you want to give into that, you aren't paying a tithe or 10% to just that. Like, that would be an offering. That would be like an added act of kindness from your finances, which I also believe the Lord blesses you for. And so you hear this topic of tithes and offerings because they do have different meanings. Tithing comes from our income directly to the church or church organization that you're getting spiritually fed from. And if you're not getting spiritually fed from anywhere, you might be like watching YouTube videos of churches that are spiritually feeding you. Wherever you feel like a church or organization that is pouring into your spiritual health, that's where I would say to tithe to. But yeah, offerings are separate. Separate ministries, separate places in the church. Like, you'll hear churches that talk about, like, we have one, the justice reform that helps human trafficking. We would be giving an extra offering to help women who go through that. But our tithe goes to running the church and being able to keep that church up and running so that there can be things like the justice reform to help the city or the food bank that we contribute to. Those things. Like, so they're kind of separate, but I just want to go into that if you're considering like, well, am I tithing or am I giving an offering? Because they are kind of mixed in all together.
Can we just kind of unpack that really quick too? Because you made such a good point when you said your tithe is helping the church run. I think that we a lot of times can think like, oh, well, the church is just getting all this money. But like, when we really stop and think about it, the church has light bills. The church has electric bills. The church has water bills. The church has, you know, heating and air. The church has so many things. They have to pay their employees. Your pastors have to make money. Like, it is literally something that requires so much money. And I think that we forget that sometimes. And so that's just something to remember with every contribution that we make, is I am literally helping to keep this place running. And because of that, more souls are able to come to know Christ. Because of that, my church is able to advance the kingdom. And if I don't give this, then all of that's going to have to stop. Right.
Yeah. Like, I just started serving on the admin team at my church, and I did not realize how much goes into running a church. Because sometimes I do think naively, we think, oh yeah, the pastor just practices at home and then shows up and like preaches to us, and there's no one else that helps him. No one else, nothing else goes on. But actually good churches are doing tons of outreach. They are helping the community. That's the point of church. And like I said, I want to be sensitive to this, because I do think there are some unhealthy churches, and the Bible talks about this. Like, those churches will be even greaterly, don't think that's a word, but I'm going to use it, judged, because they are holding the house of the Lord. And if they're not stewarding it well, that's between them and God. But I do just want to say, like, to run a healthy church, there has to be money coming in. And most churches start very small in like school buildings. And like, most churches don't just buy a building first off, you know, like, it is that tithe that comes in, and then you create a space where people can come, and then you create groups where people find community, and then you can start ministries, like I was saying, of helping the homeless, helping widows, helping people who have deaths in their family, being able, you know, all the things. I mean, it was insane to go into that first day as an admin and being like, whoa, there's so much more that goes on to running a church than I even thought. Okay, so yeah, I wanted to share two stories with you guys. One is me experiencing like just what tithing was like as a child, but also what it became and as an adult. And so my mom shared this story with me one time, because like I said, I was raised to tithe. I knew nothing else other than to tithe. So that has been a spiritual blessing in my life since I became an adult and started making my own money. But as a child, my mom had shared with me that my dad would not tithe in their marriage. And so some of you guys might have relatability to this, because I do think it's often sometimes where maybe one person's all on board and one isn't. So my mom always tells this story, how she would sit and go to church and she would just feel so guilty that they weren't tithing, but my dad was over the finances. And so my mom never backed down. My mom would just keep saying, baby, like, we need to tithe. And he's like, no, like, we're in so much debt. We don't have an extra 10% to be giving to anyone. We can barely give to ourselves. We can barely feed the kids. We're doing all this stuff. We're eating Hamburger Helper every night. Like, he had good excuses. He had great excuses of why his logical brain could not fathom giving 10% of the income. Well, one time they end up getting in a fight over it. My mom was like, let's just do it and see what happens. Let's just do it. And we're going to get into a scripture later that says, test the Lord in your tithe. Okay. And I'm not saying every tithe should be a test, but just a good reminder, the Lord will show his glory in moments to get someone's heart to turn towards him. So he knew my dad's heart. It wasn't that my dad was trying to be stingy. He just didn't understand how he could take care of his family and give a tithe at the same time. So my dad ends up tithing. And it was so funny, because my mom tells the story all the time, but she goes, one time she hears my dad being like, babe, what is this money in here? What is this money? What is this? We have way more. We have way more than we were supposed to. Like, did we deposit money? It was a miracle. And my mom's like sitting there, like fiddling her fingers. She's like, baby, that's from tithing. And he's like, no. She's like, well, let's try again. Let's see. Let's see what happens when we tithe. And miraculously, over those next few months, the stress over money went away, but also they had received like a bill from some random oil rig and gave them an extra $100 that covered what they were paying or something like that. Like, it covered the tithe. It was the exact amount of what they tithe. I forget what it was, but it's just to show you that I'm not saying you should just expect checks in the mail, but I want you to know that the Lord is like ready to show himself to you, you know, in any way. So if you're struggling in this, you know, we're allowed to test God in our tithes, and there's scripture that says that, but we do it with the encounter of knowing that God is real and he's going to move in our lives. And then from there, you become that cheerful giver of like, Lord, I've seen you do it once. I will trust you from here on out, that you will take care of everything for me, and that I will not be stingy with my money anymore because it's ultimately yours to begin with. And then my second story, which this actually happened to me last year, I've shared, you know, I was making literally six figures and decided to leave that job. I was unhappy. I was crying every day. I didn't feel fulfilled. And I was only staying for the money aspect of it because I did have that like idolatry over money and what it gave me. And the Lord had me step away. And I have always tithed my money. Like I've always tithed. But whenever I got into that position where like, y'all, I sold my car to live off for a little bit. And that's when me and Sid started this ministry. We didn't know if it'd be full-time or not. I was in and out of different jobs, trying to figure out what I was going to do. And I had made a decision not to tithe 1 month. And I was like, it's fine. You know, well, that was the month that I kid you not, I had never been more stressed about my finances ever. Like I've had really hard seasons where I've stressed about money, but I will never forget that month of being like, I don't know how I'm going to make it. I really don't. So what's interesting enough is I decided, and I didn't really even connect that to not tithing or anything, but I had decided to go on a 7-day fast of basically doing just water for 7 days. And during that fast, I had seen more sermons on fasting and tithing than I ever had before. And so I had prayed. I was like, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I did not tithe. And I went ahead and tithed. I went ahead and tithed after the fact of all my bills. I mean, I didn't have money for my next bill coming through. I had already been ready to ask my mom for money. And I went ahead and tithed it, knowing that I was already so low and didn't even know what I was going to do the next week. And what's so miraculously crazy, y'all, and this is just God, I was on my 7-day fast and I started on Sunday night and it was like Thursday or Friday. And I got a call from my lawyer who I had been doing a lawsuit with from a wreck that I had 2 years prior. And it has been pulling teeth and nails, okay, to get the money from this lawsuit. She literally said, I just sent the check to you. And it was like $13,000. Okay. And I say this, I have goosebumps, but I say this because that's not the process of getting money from a lawyer. Like normally they have to call you and you have to do all this paperwork. Like literally there was no, she's like, I've been trying to call you all week, but I've been so busy. And it was so cool. Literally like gets me teared up. But what's so cool is God cared more about my character in that moment because I could have easily gotten that phone call on Sunday or that week prior of her being like, hey, your money's coming by this day. But the Lord cared more about my character. He cared about me knowing that I need to depend on him for everything because he was already ready to give me that good gift. But he needed to know that I would surrender all of my other things to him first. And so it's just so cool. Like I was fasting during that moment and I was like, oh my goodness. And like I said, what's so funny is that she was supposed to call me the week prior and I wouldn't have been stressed at all. But he allowed me to stress. He allowed me to go through that. And so I just want to read the scripture to you because this is one of the scriptures that came up to me during that fast, but it was Malachi 3:8-9. And it talks about robbing of God. And when you see it in this context, it broke my heart. I was like, I don't ever want to rob God of anything because he already gave his son for me. He already gave his son that gave the most ultimate sacrifice, one that's greater than I'll ever experience financially, you know? And it says, will man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. So someone was, you know, asking about robbing God and he's like, you're robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? In your tithes and contributions. So when we aren't tithing or contributing to our local church or the hands and of God that people are doing, we're actually robbing from him. And that just struck my heart so deeply. And it just says, you are cursed with a curse for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. And so I just wanted to share that because I do think we are kind of in our own heads about our finances of like, well, this is my money. I earned it. I can't express enough through the own miracles in my life that tithing has miraculously changed me, not just financially, like Sid said, but through my character, through my devotedness to the Lord, to my intimacy with him. Now, when I'm struggling with my bills, like I said, those scriptures pop up where I'm like, he is my provider. If he can feed the birds, why wouldn't he feed me? You know, like those things happen because we give it up. We're giving up what we think is important to have that relationship with him.
So good.
I mean, I had this funny analogy and I was just thinking about, you know, like when you share your food, like if you were to give something to a friend and like share it with them, like you'd give them part of it, you don't care what they do with it. You know, like that context of like, well, I would give my money, but if I did, I don't know what the church is going to do with it. Therefore, you're really not giving full control over your money. Like you're not allowing the Lord to take care of it. You're still trying to control what someone else is doing with your dollar, meaning you still think it's yours. So like I had this analogy while we were writing notes about this week. And I was like, it's almost like giving your friend a piece of food, like a French fry, and being mad that they salt it. Like you're like, no, that's still mine. Don't salt that. Like I wouldn't salt it. You know what I mean? And it's like when we give our money to the Lord, like I said, silly analogy, but it's like when we give our money to the Lord, we're not waiting for him to do what we want him to do with it. Like we're not waiting for him to bless us the way that we want him to bless us. And I know like the two miracles in my life I've seen have been blessing us financially, but I also want you to know like there's been times where I've tithed my whole life and I'm still maybe living paycheck to paycheck. But that doesn't mean there's not blessings in the work. And so I just want to kind of give you that analogy that like when we give our tithe, we aren't expecting the church to do with it what we think they should do. We're not waiting to hear what they do with it. Like we're really truly giving it and releasing control of that 10%. It's like, Lord, at this point, I have done my job into giving that to you. And that is passed on to the next person. If that's the pastor managing the finances, that is now the pastor and the Lord's. If you're struggling with that, I struggled with that a lot of like, well, how do I know it's going to the right people? Or like, who should I tithe through? And are they doing what they should be doing with it? But the Lord doesn't ask us to worry about that. He just says, give. So just give it and release it and allow the Lord to do the work with it.
Yeah. So I thought it would be kind of cool just to kind of talk about like how to pray over your tithes as you're tithing, instead of just tithing, writing the check, boom, done, walk away. Like, let's actually take time to pray over our tithes. Not only is that going to bless your tithe, and the more we pray, the better things are, obviously, but it's also going to help you to trust the Lord more with your tithe when you're including him in the actual act and talking to him about it. And so personally, what I do, and Joe, you can share what you do as well, but anytime I pray, really, I love to declare scripture and quote scripture. The reason being is because we know for an absolute fact, without a shadow of a doubt, if we are praying scripture and declaring it with our mouth, then we are absolutely praying the Lord's will into our life, right? And so when I pray like over my tithing, I usually say something like, Lord, and I always try to first say like, thank you first and foremost that you are using this tithe to bring other people to you, that you are using this tithe for the furthering of your kingdom, to try to just like position my heart in the right place. And I'll kind of pray over, you know, different areas of my church or whatever. And then I'll quote some scripture and I'll say, thank you, Lord, that our barns will be filled with overflowing. Our vats will brim over with new wine. Because Proverbs 3:9 literally says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be overflowing, will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. So I thank him for that. I declare it and I thank him for it. And I say, thank you, Lord, that you're giving us so much that we don't have room to store it. Mm-hmm. And that's not me necessarily always even in my mind while I'm praying, like thinking of millions of dollars. Like that's just me believing that like we're going to be blessed in all of our ways, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, financially, all the things because of it. And so, yeah, like quoting that scripture and declaring that over your tithe as you're tithing is super powerful. And then also, I really like to pray for the discernment and the wisdom of the people that are going to be in charge of where this money is going to go, the people who work at the church that are taking care of the finances. And that'll also help you to kind of ease if you have any nerves or anything like that about, you know, what's actually going to be done with this money. Then, you know, you're giving it, you're praying over it, and now you know, like, it's in the Lord's hands. Okay. I did what the Word told me to do, and now it's in God's hands.
Great. That's so good. I love knowing that God thought it was important for us to remember that He could have just said, you tithe to me because I'm almighty. Like he could have just said, you tithe me because I created you. It could have been that relationship of like, you do what I say because I said so. But like, he's not like that. He's literally saying, tithe to me and honor me and let me overflow you with even more. Like, let me give back to you. Yeah. I think about all the months I've tithed and like all the years I've tithed. And it's like, truly, I've never gone a month where my bill was not paid. And like, I still stress about money. I still struggle with it. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like, why am I struggling? Like, I literally, like, even Corey has to remind me sometimes. He's like, your bills are paid every month. And I'm like, you're right. You're so right. I'm like, why am I like this? I'm just like reworking all of the things in my head from my past and like the money I used to make. But it's just a good reminder that he will feed you in new ways. Like, he will take care of you. He will provide for you. And I just want to say this too, because I think, like I shared last week, that homeless person who was serving, his blessings might not be a roof over his head, but he felt he was having blessing and favor in his own life by serving his time. And because maybe he didn't have it, but you know, what's interesting enough, I feel like that man of faith, if he was received $5, I could see him tithing his 10% because of how deeply his love was for the Lord. I just feel that. And so it's just like, you don't need a lot of money to tithe. And there's a scripture we'll go into about, it's not about how much you're tithing. It's about why you tithe and like the gift itself. But I just want you to know too, I think I hear a lot of times, well, if only I made more, I could give more, you know? And it's like, you don't have to wait for that. We're not waiting for that. Like, you give your 10%, whether you make $100, $10, or $1,000, or $10,000. Like, it doesn't matter across the range of what that looks like. And I wanted to add this too, really quickly, before we go into soul scriptures. Something that my pastor asked me to do, or asked us to do, he had asked us to take it off auto draft. And by doing that, I now have to consciously open up my bank account, go and transfer that over. It's not just some random bill that comes out. Yeah. And so for me, I was like, I didn't even realize, like, I've had it on auto draft. I didn't even know how much I was tithing. I was like, take this much money every month and it just comes out. Whatever it did, didn't know when it came out. I just didn't know. But now that I'm consciously doing it, it's like, I do have that time now to actually pray over it, because I wasn't praying over it before because it was just coming out on its own. And so I would also encourage you, if you're already a tither, take it off auto draft if it's on there, and just really set a day, the day you get paid every month, to sit down in your quiet time, pray over that. Thank the Lord for blessing you for your job, your income, your family, all the things that he's already given you, all the miracles he's worked in the past, and give that cheerfully. Because like I said, that has strengthened my relationship with the Lord, I think, is being able to sit and actually give that and not just feel like someone's just taking it and doing it for me. So,
yeah. So I wasn't sure if I wanted to say this earlier, but the Lord just confirmed that I can say it. Okay. So say you're in a bad spot financially, everything's really tight, whatever, and you're tithing and you're praying over your finances and you're believing God to get you out of the spot. Sometimes his answer may not be giving you more money, but his answer may be showing you that you're not being a good steward of it, or to steward it differently. Or you're spending too much money on X, Y, and Z, and you got to let that go. Because I'll just use this as an example. John and I prayed about, we knew that we wanted to start a family eventually, and that I wasn't going to want to work a whole ton or be pressured to like work and make a ton of money once that time came. And so we prayed and prayed over our finances for a year or two, seriously, like constantly. And we kept tithing the whole time. And God's answer at that moment was not to help us make more money, but we kept feeling it put on our heart that we needed to sell our house and downsize. We had a 3,100 square foot house. We had no business having a house that big and that expensive. We didn't need it. And just not that there's anything wrong with having a house that big. If you have a house that's big, that's great. But for us personally, in this stage of our life, we were spending way more than what was necessary on a house. And as soon as we finally obeyed and put that house on the market, my husband got a new job that came with a much better salary. And the Lord just completely like opened the floodgates of heaven on our finances once we finally obeyed. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, I guess like in my scenario, it was both. Like, he provided more finances, but it was also him showing us, you don't need all of this, all this material things and all these bills and all of this. Like, he wanted us and our particular situation to steward our finances differently. Yeah. It was very clear because we prayed for so long over our finances, and then we got the answer as soon as we put this house up for sale. And then at that time, we were able to use some of that money to pay off my husband's vehicle, and like, we're debt free now. And it's amazing. Like, praise God, you know? And so it's just like God knew all along. So just trust that as you're tithing and praying over your tithe, that God is going to give you the answer, whether it's a huge pay raise or a promotion, or he just shows you to do some things differently. Be open to him speaking to you through the Holy Spirit, and he will be faithful in this promise.
Yes. Oh, that's so good. You know, you made such a good point that I'm actually like so glad you guys couldn't see it, but Sydney was like praying over there to make sure she would share what she wanted to share. But it's so interesting that me and Sid forgot one of the best things, is that it's obeying the Lord. Like, we sometimes have to like obey in our tithes and obey what that means. Because yes, it is giving 10% of your income, but that also means, are you stewarding it well? Which is the whole two part of this. Like, we talked about not having money as an idol, but to pay your tithes is great, but then you have to obey what he wants you to do with the money that you have. You know, like, you give the 10%, but then you ask the Lord, Lord, what else can I do to be a good steward of this? Because we can give 10% all day long, but if we're still not obeying the Lord's direction in our life, then it's not going to do anything for us. We're still going to be selfish with our money. We're still going to be doing what we think we should be doing with our finances rather than what he wants us to do with our finances. So that's so good. We're going to go ahead and go into our soul scriptures. And one of the ones that I wanted to share today is the very first tithe. And I wanted to share this because I think it's significant with us being reminded that the first tithe wasn't after Jesus. And I think some people think about this and think like, well, the church corrupted the tithe. You know, we hear that a lot, or, you know, it's whatever the churches wanted to just to make money for themselves, you know, all the things. But the first tithe actually came with Abram, which was even before Abraham came to place. So this is Abram, who is Abraham. His name hasn't changed yet, but it's in Genesis, y'all, the very beginning of the Bible. And it says, it's Genesis 14, 19 through 20. And it says, and he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram by God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And Abram gave him a tenth of everything. So this gift had been given to Abram. And literally the minute he received that, he said, Lord, you take 10% of it back. And I just want to paint this picture for you really quickly, because this is something the Lord gave me. Back then, they would burn their tithes. They would like sacrifice their tithes. They would like give animals up. Okay. Can you imagine if our tithes were us burning money? Okay. That would feel so hard for me. I'm going to be honest, because we would see it be going to waste. We would see that as waste. But like, what's so interesting to me is back then they would sacrifice their food, their animals, their gold, they would sacrifice other things, you know, but some people would like, you see in the Bible, someone sacrificed their perfume. Someone were sacrificed like the left of the bread that they had. So like, when you think about this, it's so interesting, because I'm like, we get to tithe to a church that gets to bless us and give back to us. Like, we get to see the blessings in our communities when we get to tithe. And like, back then, they didn't have church communities. I mean, they had the temple, and that's where they would bring their sacrifice, but it would still be up for burnt offerings and things like that. So it's just very interesting. Like, we get to give our first tithe, and it actually, or sorry, we get to give our tithe, and it actually be in a place where we get to see that fruit being blessed. And it's like, back then they really did just have to like give it up, you know? So we actually get to give in a whole different way than even they did. But I love seeing that it came from Abram in Genesis. I just thought that was so cool.
Wow. Never thought about that before.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And the next scripture that we wanted to bring up, and I kind of mentioned this earlier, but so it's Malachi 3, 10 through 12. And it says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it is ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. And I love this part in verse 11 where it says, I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your field will not drop their fruit before it is ripe. Because how many times, how often do we feel like we are just working and just spinning our wheels and really getting nowhere? I know personally that I felt like that in my career many times. And I'm sure I'm not the only one. And the Lord says, the pests will not devour your crops. So you're not going to be working in vain. You're going to be seeing that reward from your work, right? And so I love that. Also love that he says, test me in this. Like, I don't know about you, but when I think about this verse and when I'm tithing, I almost feel a little guilty, like, okay, Lord, I'm putting you to the test. But like, he wants to prove himself in this very clearly. So I love that. And then it's just such a beautiful reminder when he says, I will throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. I literally just imagine like literal gates opening from heaven on my life, on my finances, on my relationships, on my marriage, emotionally, mentally, physically. And I just see the Lord pouring out so much blessing. And that's, y'all, when we believe for things like that, that's not you being greedy. That's you believing in the promises that God has given you. Declare them, believe them over your life, because it is the truth. It's right here in scripture.
Yes. Oh, that's so good. I love where it says, I will rebuke the devourer for you. Mm. So like, that means he is standing in place saying, I will rebuke the enemy's attacks that come at you. Like, I will rebuke the devourer for you, which I love. I just love that phrase. Mm-hmm. The next one is, which I kind of wrote a little note, but this is really a scripture about he cares more about the giver than the gift. And this is something that I had mentioned earlier about, it really isn't about how much we give, but what we give and why we're giving it. And so in Mark 12, 41 through 44, it says, and he sat down opposite the treasurer and watched the people putting money into the offering box. Many rich people put in large sums, and a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which made a penny. And he called his disciples to him and said to them, truly, I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box, for they all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she has to live on. So it's like such a beautiful reminder that we don't tithe when we're blessed. We tithe when we're struggling. We actually tithe all the time. But what I'm saying is, if you're trying to decide if you're tithing or not, it's not based off how much abundance you have right now. We don't tithe because he's blessing us financially. We tithe no matter what, whether it's poverty or an abundance. And Jesus actually made it a point to say and pause and make sure his disciples see this, that her offering / tithe meant more to Jesus for the two copper coins that made a penny, because that's all she had, than it was the people who made all the money and were able to, you know, give all of their ginormous tithes. So I do think it's just a good reminder that it's not about being a millionaire so you can tithe your 100 grand or whatever it is. I can't do math that easy. But it's like, it's actually about your daily lives and you looking at your finances and saying, you know what, Lord, I don't have this, but either way, you deserve it. You're worth it. I want to honor you in everything that I have here, because we know the things that we have here on earth are from God in the first place. So why wouldn't we give it back to him and honor him in that? That's one of my favorites. I love that one.
Good. All right. So we're going to close with our soul assignment per usual. And it's super simple this week. Go and tithe. It doesn't matter where you're at right now financially. I know that is like really hard for me to even say, but we've got to trust the Lord in this. Okay. Personally, I have it set in my calendar every 2 weeks when my husband gets paid. I take what he's made and what I make, and I give the 10% online and it's done. Pray over it. And then we just trust the Lord. So set up your reminders if you need to. Go ahead, set that up. And seriously, I know that you will reap the benefits and the blessings of your relationship with God
Through
this.
So good. Yeah. So we're so thankful you guys listened in this week. And if you have any questions, you guys can DM us always on Instagram. We know we don't post all the time or are as active as we are, both kind of fasting and kind of distancing ourselves from social media. But we just want you to know we do check those, and we'll always pray over you guys on social media. And so you guys can always chat with us there. So pray, or Sid, if you want to pray us out.
Dear Lord, thank you so much for just your principles in the Bible that show us how to live. And I thank you that it's never because you're a mean God with lots of rules and just pointing your fingers and, you know, you just want to boss us around, even though it would be fine if you did, but that's not the reason that you do, that you give us these rules or these regulations to live by. It's because you care about us and because you know what is best for us and what's going to work out, what's going to make our life work out in the way that we want it to work out, and what's best for our relationships and our spirit and our mental and emotional health. And I'm so grateful that I have your word to turn to with everything in life. And so I thank you for the practical advice that your word gives on tithing. And I pray that we will not take it lightly, Lord, that we will take this seriously as Christians and that we will trust you. And I just want to lift up the woman who's listening who, you know, she just listened to this episode, but she still just feels on edge and nervous about tithing because maybe she's struggling financially, or maybe she just doesn't really trust where the money might be going. Lord, I ask that you help her to give this worry and this concern over to you. And I just thank you that as she tithes, Lord, as she is a cheerful giver, that you are going to open the floodgates of heaven upon her finances, upon her relationships, upon her life in ways that she would never imagine, because you are faithful. You keep every single promise. All your promises are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. And we just thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I love that.
Thanks for listening in this week. Just for hanging out with us, we want to give you a free gift. Go to withinhersoul.co/freebie to grab your free quiet time template. This will be your guide during your alone time with Jesus. You'll journal your highs and lows, record your prayers, and you'll be able to express how you feel the Lord is speaking to you every time you spend time with Him. It's extremely helpful if you're needing some guidance on how to find a quiet time routine that works for you. And before you go, make sure to subscribe to the podcast so you don't ever miss a new episode. You can also catch us at withinhersoul.co on Insta. We'd love for you to message us and let us know how we can pray for you. This is the Within Her Soul podcast. We can't wait to chat with you next week. See you then.